There's water in the bottle, what you call it? The...
Well, was the feeling that they were Johnny come lately when it was coming to poor folks?
The feeling was that we'd been there, ladies had been struggling all up to now, and we hadn't heard from them. But then all of a sudden they wanted us to support them and what they were doing. I think that's what the feeling was. She brought four in here. Y'all let him drink them up?
Because this sounds like it was the real turning point, because, of course, when he was assassinated, he was involved with the janitors. And it sounds like there was more, in some ways,
he was involved in the sanitation,
right,
down in Tennessee. Okay, well, I think they had been going around trying to get a lot of people together for this poor people's campaign.
Uh-huh.
So he was down in there, and that may have been where he was when I insisted that he come. If he didn't show up, we wasn't going to participate. And they found him from somewhere, you know. And but then after that, even after he was shot, we had a good relationship with Rev. Abernathy. That was my guy. He was a nice person to work with.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about the whole idea of Resurrection City? And going
to Resurrection City. I think it was unfortunate that Resurrection City could have been could have made a great impact, but it rained practically every day they were there, and it was just mud. Even though some people stayed out there in that water, my people would let me stay there. So I went out to visit. We had something we called student house. It was a house with some beds and things in it that we stayed at, and we had a lady come down and cook. I cooked myself sometimes in there. So,
well, did you think it was a good idea, though?
What, Resurrection City? Like I said, I think it could have been, had a great impact, but had it not rained so much. Well, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. All that, the water, and it looked like to me it rained every day we were there, and I went out there, and we had a lot of people hung in there, though. A lot of people really stayed out there in that mud, in them tents. They really did. Yeah, I didn't stay. I went out there several days when I was in Washington, but I do know some people who stayed there. I think the idea was, you somebody call somebody, Joe?
No, that's
Teddy. Oh. Back again. I really think that it could, you know, to get attention to what the thing was, what the pool was. And a lot of people participated. It was not a cult thing. We had a lot of white people. Many white people, people, you know. So it wasn't a black and white issue. It was a black and white together who I think would have made a great impact on the system had it not rained and it couldn't get things like
that. Do you think it was coordinated enough?
I think they done a very good job in coordinating, just couldn't deal with the act of God. You know, the rain situation is really terrible, you know, and some people couldn't really stay there, but some did. We set up some tents down in Miami, which was a little bit different because it was very hot down there. Then we had a big, you know, at the end of June that year, we had a big march on Washington.
On June 30th?
Was it June 30th? 1958. It had to be, because I was getting ready to go overseas. Yeah. I would really prefer some pineapple juice myself. It had to be 1968, because I left for a in Scandinavia after that, right after that. It had to be.
Well, John, you know what I'd like? I want to now to jump, because I want to focus on this article, and then we'll go back.
The
welfare of the women.
That was done in, come on, February 1972.
Yeah. Now, well, and then, well, two things.
Joanne,
the way I laid it being, let me ask, remember, I asked you if you thought you wrote this letter from a welfare mother.
That I read that the other day.
You think it was you?
I don't know.
It was putting it on a lot. It was putting it on pretty thick.
I really don't know. I know the part about the fat woman, that I did do.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, the man versus the man, that day I did that. I remember that. That's why I use that phrase all the time.
Oh, so this is you.
Did I get
it? Yes, it
is. I guess it is. But I remember using that phrase all the time. Well, it's really in the I Dream of World book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so I'm always using that. So I guess I did.
I'm sorry, Johnny, I'm mixing up two things. You do say that in this one, in the Welfare of the Women's Issues.
Right.
You say that, yeah. This other one is more about the rhetoric of white women and women's liberation.
Rhetoric?
You murder me, women's liberation is every bullshit demand you make. Not because what you ask for is wrong, but because of what you leave out. Where's free childbirth in your platform? Where's Jesus?
No,
you
know.
Don't think that's you. Because I'm, you know, I wonder if it's, why did I think it was someone from L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, all these years I thought that was you, too.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, but this one, yeah, the language that you use here, to me, is absolutely what, I know you don't like to use labels, but what we're trying to do is talk about what is and was the women's movement. It wasn't just white women's liberation. I think it was also the welfare mothers group. It was all of these different groups. And they were talking about some different things, but also talking about some stuff that's the same about women. And that's why...
I think what you have is that time you had it now, people?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Arlene Hernandez,
mm-hmm.
who was from California, who was a black woman,
right.
But involved into in the now thing, mm-hmm. National Organization of Women. I had met Betty Friedan.
Yeah.
And I had met Gloria Steinem. And a bunch of other women. I had been involved with the United Methodist Women Group, you know, they had their auxiliary.
Yeah.
The Presbyterian Women. I remember staying in a hotel room with some Presbyterian women, church women. And the way Rhoda set it up, Rhoda was my staff person, that I shared a room with the chairwoman of this particular auxiliary, and Beulah shared a room with the vice president, and went on down the line, I think five or six women in. They wanted to get to know us. They wanted to know what our operation was all about, because right now we're going to ask for some money. So they, I think my lady that lived in the room with me, her name was Miss Stone, they felt like they could learn something from us. And we thought we could learn something from them. And we spent a weekend together.
What year was this, remember?
Let's see. I left Championship in 71. So this must have been right after Detroit, I guess. And I remember our caucuses then we had breakfast together, whatever. Then we decided what we wanted them to do. In the meantime, they had a caucus, decided what they were going to do. So, I remember we decided that we would ask them for $100,000. They had decided they were going to give us $75,000, all right? So, we went back that morning for our final meeting, and we had prayer. I never had yet. Made Zula do the prayer. I said, it's the letter of the prayer. I said, the sound of leaders and prayer, please. And she was cussing me on her face. I know she was, you know, I hate she passed away in 84. So we did the prayer. And George came over to the meeting that morning. And, we told him, so we asked him for $100,000. Well, George told us we had the money anyway. And, so we made our proposal to them. And they listened. And they, you know, during all this session, we told them what we do at home, how many children we had, what the welfare situation was like, you know, and that kind of stuff. And, but then I asked Ms. Stone, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'd like to learn from you, if you could teach me, is how you guys raise so much money. She said, Mrs. Tillman, you know as much about it as we do. She said, we don't take money out of our pocket. She said, this auxiliary, each year, we have to raise so much for the church. And we don't get how you raise it. So we have bake sales, cookie sales, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I know how to do that because I was doing it already. She said, well, that's where we get our money. And we set a goal. And it was interesting that morning when we made our presentation to them. They got up and made theirs to us, and they were just $25,000 shorter than what we go ask for. So we didn't pick up no fuss. Give us the $75,000. We were glad to get $75,000, you know, so we didn't pick up a fuss. So, those were the kinds of things, the issues that women, I think that when it comes down to women issues, see, I was not involved into women versus men. That was my thing. But all of the decisions that are made in your legislature is primarily by men. Of course, let me tell you this. If a woman is in that group, you really can't tell it, because she's just as hard as they are, you know. Even in the welfare department, women social workers is worse than men social workers when it comes to putting pressure on a client, or come to an attitude Mm-hmm. But by the kind, women are really more difficult than men are. I don't know why, but...
Well, I think men get intimidated more by the women.
Maybe so. Maybe not.
Well, what did you mean, though, when you said things like, for women, and that's why welfare is a women's issue. Okay. Welfare is like a traffic accident. It can happen to anybody,
right,
but
right.
Especially it happens to women.
Right.
And that is why welfare is a women's issue. For a lot of middle-class women in this country, women's liberation is a matter of concern. For women on welfare, it's a matter of survival.
Survival.
What did you mean by women's liberation there when you said that?
Most of the women in the women liberation groups are what you call middle-class, working-class, upper-class women. The women who are on welfare, even though, and then most of the people in liberation were white women, okay? Most welfare recipients in this country, the people actually on welfare are white women, but it is not
right.
known.
Right.
Okay, it's not portrayed out there like it should be. It's always concentrated on black women. But you see, up until 1963, families didn't qualify for welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be the woman who went make out the application. Even now, when a whole family is supported, may be supported, woman is the one who initiates the thing. You hardly ever you find a man going to welfare department to ask for some aid. It's usually the woman because he's the part of family now since the law has been changed. So it is a welfare woman's issue. The women liberation part that, you know, they don't want to wear no bras, they don't want to wear no girls, they're concerned about men opening the doors and that kind of stuff. They were,
right.
our heads were, do we have a door? You know, do we have money to buy a bra to put on or some panties? I mean, that's what I mean when I say if our thing was survival, not about, but you didn't, what it had to be, we wasn't against the movement for the women being liberated. We just didn't have time to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to be trying to look out for our kids, and it was a constant fight to do that. So I think that's what I was talking about.
Because it seems to me, though, too, that you were that none of you were willing to put up with stuff for men either.
Oh, no, well, not put up with stuff. Some of them were still putting up some stuff. You always put up. Yeah. As a man, it's kind of something like you really can't do anything with them, and you don't want to do without them either at some point in time, you see. So you couldn't say that we were totally against them because we all had kids, so that means we have been involved at some point in time. And I've always had one, you know. Before I was married, I always had a boyfriend that made sure I got to the airport and got me picked back up. He finally got tired of that, though. And when it come time for me to choose between him and an airline ticket, I chose the airline ticket, and I was gone. So he had to find somebody else. So I didn't have a problem with that either. So a lot of women had that, and they had support of some men, and then some men, they don't support their wives working and being involved in civic things, and a lot of men are like that. I think they have some problems with, you know, jealousy on the inside or whatever have you, that kind of thing, but I don't believe women should have to sit at home all of the time. I mean, why?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that at all. It ain't got nothing to do with being poor, rich, or black or white.
Yeah.
I think you ought to have some freedom, and if you feel like you want to go and volunteer up on the corner, or you want to involve in the election, you want to pass out some literature, maybe you ought to just do that sometime.
See, I think one of the things that we're trying to do in this work we're doing is say the women's liberation movement, if people think about it, was just one part of the movement. But there were other groups that were working on behalf of women who, at some level at least, didn't accept male domination. They weren't against men, but they also weren't going to put up with shit.
Yeah. And I think we still got those kind of women. We had, what, legal women voters?
Mm-hmm.
But they play a big part.
And I think that the welfare, that a lot of the welfare mothers groups did the same thing.
Yeah, they had, but they play a big part in this country's political thing.
Mm-hmm.
The women on welfare, as I said, we were on welfare, and it was a struggle to survive, but if you look at it, all the groups at some point in time came together, because I made a whole lot of women conferences. I was at the International Conference on Women in Houston. Yeah, I was there. A lot of other welfare recipients, women, was there. And some of the people, the women who were able, helped support the other women in our group that wasn't able to come.
Mm-hmm.
But you like give them money, and, you know, for hotel room and et cetera. I remember going into the going at that particular conference, that's when a lot of the lesbian women were there. And I remember getting, we wanted some support for something that we had going on on Capitol Hill. Some kind of bill, what was it? Who was that, Ford? That was in charge at that time? Something, I can't remember the bill now, but we wanted, needed support on. And they were saying, I don't think, Yvonne Breakman said, Johnny, I don't think that you're going to be able to get support on that thing against it. Child, we went down over in the lesbian caucus and talked to them people. They told us what they wanted. We supported them. They supported us, and we got the support of everybody on that conference floor. You know, better. But then put it on the floor beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
She said maybe because that way she was raised, you know, about man was the thing, but we couldn't discriminate against the women who didn't think man was the thing, you know. And we all be supported. And she certainly had my support when she had that. I remember her making a joke out of it. I went on tour and said, okay, I don't know. Somebody said, you going in there? I said, yes, I'm going in there. Sure, I don't know. They might have something good going on, so I'm going to go ahead and check it out, you know. and we had a good time about it. But we got done as a group.
Yeah.
What needed to be done. It didn't have nothing to do. We didn't look at you as, well, I don't want to be bothered with the lesbians. And the lesbians saying, well, we don't want to be bothered with the race. Everybody was a woman there, and this was an issue. And they had some, I don't remember exactly what the issue was, but I know we got it, that thing passed together as a group of women.
Well, do you see 75 in some ways, that conference, as a turning point in bringing together so many different women's groups as a women's movement, groups that before hadn't necessarily
grown? And they helped each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that as some kind of turning point?
I thought it was the right direction to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was 76.
So Houston was 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nairobi was 85. Was the end of the decade.
November 76.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Because it was a decade, and I think it started with
76, because I got married in 79. Matter of fact, I got some coasters that I got in there. Matter of fact, I got the bag somewhere that I had. The one of my purses back there that I had on here.
Well, I'll check again. But see, I think that Houston was 75, then Mexico City was maybe
80. I didn't go to Mexico.
And then there was one in Copenhagen, and then the big one in Nairobi, which I think for the first time, women from the West began to get...
I didn't get a chance to go to one of the big ones. We done some ad hoc committees and stuff in Washington after, I remember Bella...
Abzu.
And Maxine Waters and all those was in Washington for something, so kind of a follow-up mm-hmm. after the Houston meeting. But then I was, by that time, I was back, I was working for Council of Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I was spending a lot of time in Sacramento
mm-hmm.
when I wasn't in the doing his field work
for them. Well, Johnny, getting back to the lesbian issue, has this emerged ever as an issue in the welfare rights organization?
No.
Nope.
We had not been involved in no lesbian, gay kind of situation at all. As a matter of fact, there wasn't nothing that was even talked about, and I don't remember but two people that somebody told me were that way. Because I don't know, I can't look at a person mm-hmm. and tell whether they care or not, whether they,
no.
I can't look at a woman. Let me tell you, I went to San Francisco, this is an interesting thing. They had this conference in San Francisco put on by the telephone company, about Gloria Steinem was the keynote speaker. And all women conference. And I remember Gloria spoke first, which was bad, I thought. She should have been spoke last. But all the women, very dressed up women, including myself, sitting on the platform. And they had representation there from the Daughters of the Blighted. Well, I don't know what the Blighted is, but anyway. Lady came time to speak. She had on a beautiful pair of suit, hair, and plain lipstick. And look at any other woman on that platform. She got up and she introduced, told her who she was, and went on by the organization. She said, "I represent the Daughters of the Ladies." She said their membership was 500,000 or something like that. It was up in the big number. She said, "We are women. We are mothers. We are daughters. We are grandmothers as I am." And I'm getting thinking, now, what she means, she's a grandmother. No, that don't even work. That don't even sound right. Made a beautiful speech. I looked for that woman all evening after the conference, because I want to know what did she mean. Well, but I wasn't going to say it there either. I want to ask her personally. So that night, the a group of YWACA women had us for guests. And they charged people to come in to hear us speak. So we got the same format we used mm-hmm. that day. The lady came back. Then she explained how she got to be a grandmother. She was married for 18 years. She had a daughter. And she tried to live with the husband, but that just wasn't her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter now was married and had a beautiful little girl. That's how she got to be a grandma. She showed it, saw my curiosity, because I couldn't deal with that whatsoever. Because I never, the only person that I ever had been around, I guess, when I was about 18 years old, I remember this lady fumbling on me on the assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up and went to the foreman and asked her to move me. That was it. I never had encountered mm-hmm. nothing like that no more. So I really don't know people. I don't know gay folk. I know clowns, what I call clowns. Somebody in the men's situation where they look like they're trying to act like a woman. Mm-hmm. Women don't act like that anyway, you know, that kind of thing. Or I've known women who wear pants and sit with the legs open or something like that, you know, like that. But when you leave that, I'm just lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had never had any kind of discussions around the